Very good evening.
To all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. It's okay. Okay, tonight, before we start, I got some good announcement. First of all, there is one good news. This talk in Klang, Samatha Vipassana Bhavana. We have completed not only the transcript, but formatting, editing, printing, and finally, photostatted. So tonight, just from the photostat shop, you are going to receive your copy. So, just like what Eng Bi commented, she wanted it to be pink. This otherwise, the earlier copy was blue. So we should thank, especially Ellen, Ellen and Sister Ellen and Sister Eng Bi. Ellen volunteered to do the transcript. Then Eng Bi and her do the necessary typesetting, everything, checking. Then the printing of the master for photostat was mainly by Sister Eng Bi. So we should thank them. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then the other thing is our Kayanamita Fund. We have the privilege to donate towards this printing. So we use Kayanamita Fund to actually photostat 150 copies. But it's very cheap. 174 only. So I suggested to Sri An that I will split the money between Tuesday class and Thursday class. So that Tuesday class donates 87. Thursday class also donate 87. They're supposed to reimburse me the money. So I donate back to Tuesday class and Thursday class Kayanamita Fund. We all rejoice. We are all the Kayanamita funds get to perform this whole sunnah. That's why this is only special because only Kayanamita Fund can donate towards this type of photostat and printing. Even you very wealthy, you want to donate, cannot. Because it is meant to benefit the Kayanamitas. Okay? So we sadhu one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then I will take the privilege to give this first two books to Sister Eng Bi and Ellen. Come, collect your first two. These are the first two here. No? I have given one to my wife earlier on, but not from this one. Not from your 150 copy, from my own copy. So at least she is first. Okay, Ellen, thank you so much. Sadhu. Come. Sadhu, sadhu. Come, Sister Eng Bi.
You
Eng Bi first? Eng Bi, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you. Okay, you pass this around. Those who want to collect on behalf of your friend, you can. Yeah. Just pass it. Pass it around. Then there is one more announcement. We should also thank Padma Suri. And again, Sister Ellen, together with her, did this chart very beautiful. The three turnings and the three phases of Dhamma. We rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I understand Padma Suri must have donated this, but try to reimburse from the Kayanamita Fund and donate back. No problem. But get the Kayanamita Fund to be involved so that you can actually bring forth condition for more wholesomeness to be done. I know you got good intention. You can channel that intention by donating this money to Kayanamita Fund, any of the fund, so that it will serve the purpose. Means you donate to this fund, what they call with the intention to use this for printing out this Dhamma, which you have done very well. So this privilege, what they call binding, plastic bind, is only for Thursday class and Tuesday class. For you all, it's a smaller copy. You can pass around the A4. So if you want to blow it out, you can go back and blow it out. Otherwise, the soft copy, we will send out the PDX version, PDF version. Okay, that's all for the announcement. So we can start our puja. Then after that, we can start our meditation session, followed by your usual Q&A. So now compose your mind, develop the faith, the sadha and virya, then pay respect mindfully, Lord Buddha, then we will start the puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami, Adina dana viramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara ramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padam samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep a respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Just silence your mind, relax, maintain some form of attention, then we can start. Everybody has got a copy, Anybody without this Samatha Vipassana Bhavana bullet, you can collect it later, from here, okay? This is a very good book, It complements what you need to understand. From the earlier notes from Wu Ping Ching Sir, The Wu Ping Ching Sir one teach you how to develop the understanding of meditation, mainly via the what they call essence of the Buddha's teaching, which include mainly vipassana meditation, and show it clearly to you the big difference between thought-based meditation and true mindfulness or awareness-based meditation. Then they explain clearly what is sati and all those things. But little was mentioned about what samatha meditation or bhavana is. So in this particular talk at Klang, which was given by me on the April, I think 24th of April, if I'm not wrong, they wanted to understand the difference between samatha and vipassana, bhavana. Bhavana is the meditative training or the meditation. So samatha is different from vipassana. Vipassana refers to insight, wisdom, meditation. We stand for the characteristics of nature, three characteristics. Passana is to insight into the characteristic, whereas samatha is to develop samadhi. It's just like metta bhavana, to develop metta, understand? So samatha bhavana is to develop samadhi. So samadhi, there are very, very distinct difference from vipassana. The samadhi that they do usually fall into the apana samadhi, which is concentration and absorption. So you do that type of samadhi, then that type of meditation will lead you to concentration of mind. And you will develop a lot of energy field. And these are all mainly thought-based meditation. Then I describe in fairly detail on all the jhanas and all those things. Then nowadays they also have a different version of jhana. They have a different understanding. They explain that jhana, there is also such thing as a pure jhana, means no concentration, no absorption, nothing. So that part also I explain. Then I also explain the three types of peace, the two types of sati, and it includes the explanation of the 16 Brahma rhymes. Because each and every of the four jhanas, the first four jhana, or they call the form jhana, they have roughly about three rhymes for the first three, then seven rhymes for the last one, the fourth jhana. So total 16 rhymes. So these are the place where those who cultivate or develop jhana, and after they pass away, they will take rebirth up there. They call it the Brahma rhymes. These are within the form jhana. So that type of existence, they call it rupaloka. Rupaloka is rupa is form, loka is existence. Then ours, together with the deva planes and the four willful state, is called kamaloka, the sensual realm, where we have our sixth sense, where we live basically through our senses. So we are conscious because we have these senses. But when you go to the form realm, the senses is like more or less attenuated or reduce, and you live with the form jhana. So you are within the form realm, where your meditative existence is mainly concentration, absorption, and very, very powerful energy field developed through samatha bhavana. Then if you progress or proceed further into the formless realm, they call it the arupa loka, you can take birth up in the high heavens, where they call it the arupa loka or formless realm. There are four. They have the realm of infinite space, then the realm of infinite consciousness, then the realm of nothingness. And finally, the rhyme of neither perception nor non-perception. So this complete the four formless rhyme. So that's why all the eight types of jhana, if you do, you will, or you can end up taking birth up in this high heaven realms. And you live very long when you are there. The lifespan is very long. So they are all described there. No. And there are also some very good questions, very relevant questions been asked. And the Q&A was very good. So towards the end, there was some advice on how to actually understand the Dhamma to help you free your mind, liberate your mind. Then the essential Dhamma are also wherever appropriate angle condition, they have been restated inside the transcript too. That talk was good, fairly comprehensive, and you want to have a good idea of what's the difference between Samatha and Vipassana Bhavana, this will be a very good book. You make sure you don't keep it in your bookshelf. You refer to it off and on, read. Then if you want to have better understanding, listen to the recording, the what they call MP3 or Dropbox recording. But everything is written in the introduction, the preface, and the acknowledgement there, so that you understand. It is very well defined, so that you understand how to go about developing the understanding. Okay, with that, we can start our meditation. So for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away go into the meditation. Those who still need the training of the mind, you can either use whatever skillful means that you're familiar with, or you can start with the mind sweeping method combined with metta. Then after that, develop either anapanasati or any of the skillful means that can allow you to train and stabilize your mindfulness so that you can develop the meditation later on. Okay, I will off the light, then you all can start the meditation. I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes so that we have more time for session 2. Okay. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For the seminar, slowly, mindfully, come out meditation. So as usual, try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed, so that you can bring forth this trained mind state of heedfulness into the daily life to cultivate your daily mindfulness, and that is the real meditation. So when you move your trained mind into the daily life, initially you just continue to train your mind in kayanupassana, just anchor your mind to your bodily movement, starting from the form posture, then connecting movement means like we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. So body and mind as one, so that you maintain more and more mindfulness or sati. When body and mind is one in sati, in harmony, there is no thought. So you have more and more moments of mindfulness with you. Then when you develop this until it becomes very stable, then you will have a very, very different mind. This mind is no longer heedless. It's most of the time aware, silent, peaceful. Then this mind can understand a lot of things. This mind can meditate. This mind has clarity. By then, your spiritual faculty must have developed quite well. Otherwise, you cannot reach that state. Saddha, virya will give rise to what they call very wholesome mind. The faith and the spiritual zeal will drive you to cultivate. Then when you do it diligently, sincerely, the mindfulness will develop. Then as you stabilize this mindfulness, you will be able to develop samadhi to a certain extent. Then after that, you bring forth this trained mind into the daily life. You will have a lot of opportunity to witness the Dhamma, to understand how you function as a human being, to understand how your mind stirs, and how through your delusion you are conditioned into negativity, how the evil roots come to be, how the hindrance come to be, and how you develop heedlessness. Then how after a long period of habitual thinking or reaction, the hindrance become very powerful. Then you got no control over your life anymore because you become more and more heedless. You have less and less moment of awareness and silence. Then you completely entangle yourself by being heedless most of the time. So meditation is to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty to counter the hindrance, so that your mind can have more and more of this spiritual peace, spiritual calmness, leading to the heedfulness and the mindfulness to understand what is going on, to develop the wisdom for you to understand life, so that you will understand the noble truth, so that you can free your mind. Okay, now we can move on to the part 2, stage 2. to which is Q&A. So you can report your meditation, then you can ask question, whatever question that is related to the Dhamma, to the meditation, and to also life itself, means how to apply what you have learned and cultivated to help you understand life, to help you overcome all of your problems in life. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody wants to report their meditation? Anybody? You can put up your hand, then we will pass you the mic. Anybody want to share or report their meditation? Everybody understood, no need to ask questions. Okay, never mind. So anyway, tonight we have this chart. Everybody got a copy, the three turning and the three phases of Dhamma. We should go through this so that you become clear, so that you can have clear understanding of these three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Yeah, it's all here, distribute to the back. These three turnings of the Four Noble Truths will enable you to develop the three types of corresponding wisdom that the Buddha taught. So you look at the chart. On your extreme right, sorry, on your extreme left, the first row, you see first turning wisdom, then there is this green word down there, Sutamaya Panya. Wisdom born of hearing the sutta or Dhamma is proclaimed by the Buddha. So this one, very easy to understand, clear. So during the time of the Buddha, you can only listen where there is no writing. You cannot read about it. You cannot even record it where there was no recorder at that time. So you have to follow the Buddha around or listen to the disciples' proclamation of truth or Dhamma. So through hearing the sutta, which is the discourse of the Buddha, if you can develop the wisdom, then you have this Sutamaya Panya. Panya is wisdom, means wisdom born of hearing the sutta. That is the first turning. Then first noble truth, second noble truth, third noble truth, and the fourth noble truth, they are all listed on the second column, third column, fourth column, and the fifth column in red. So you read them, it's just like you're hearing the proclamation. But now you have the what they call advantage of recording books, written notes that can help you develop this Sutamaya Panya more easily. So just like the first noble truth, I put the hearing, listening, or reading of the first noble truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. So we can read together. Now we read together. This bhikkhu, read together. This bhikkhu is the first noble truth of dukkha. Is dukkha. Aging is dukkha. Sickness is dukkha. Death is dukkha. To be with the dislike is dukkha. Separation from the like is, and your possession, prized possession is dukkha. Not able to get what one desire is dukkha. In brief, these five aggregates of rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana, which are the objects of clinging and grasping, are dukkha. So this first noble truth talks about the realities of life and existence. Can follow, The eight type of realities that each and every one of you, if you live life long enough, you will confront them. So according to the Buddha, he said, there is this noble truth that explains clearly to you this reality. If you don't develop wisdom before you confront them, then this noble truth will take its course. Then suffering will arise when you confront them without wisdom. So this is a very bound for First Noble Truth. The eight condition, as you have recited just now, the first four relates to this physical body and mind. The Buddha talked about birth, old age, sickness and death. So these are the reality that we need to confront as we go through life. The moment we are born, we have to confront old age, sickness and death. And these are reality. Not only you, each and every living being, they have to face the same reality. Yeah. So if you are deluded, you don't have wisdom, then you become afflicted. Especially getting older, as most of you will know, through your parents, your grandparents, and sometimes yourself, because some of us are not too young anymore. So, getting old, going through old age, you realize there are many things failing you. Your senses starts to deteriorate. Then you develop more sickness, disease. Then you are less healthy, physically. Of course, mentally depend. But physically, you will feel the difference between when you are young, energetic, lively, and as you age. So this reality of birth leading to old age, or what they call aging, is very true. Then getting disease, falling into sickness, is also another source of suffering. If you don't have wisdom, you cannot accept that reality. Especially nowadays, there are a lot of very traumatic type of diseases, like cancer, stroke, heart attack, Alzheimer's, and other things. It can develop a lot of suffering. It can bring about a lot of fear, a lot of unhappiness, a lot of anxiety in you. And all this develops suffering. Then, of course, the fourth one is confronting death. And this reality of confronting death, either death of your loved ones, or your good friend, or somebody dear to you, or fearing your own death. Without wisdom, living being really suffer, miserable. And this one also end up with separation from loved one, possession. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, we know many possibility of that. Then when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectation or desire are not met, you can become unhappy, miserable, afflicted. And all this brings about suffering. But the most important part is the last reality. The Buddha said this is a very powerful one. He summarized all of suffering, he said, as due to your delusion, that condition you to grasp and cling on to your five aggregate of form and mind. You know what is this five aggregate of form and mind? We have gone through. There are two aspects to it. The first aspect is the most powerful one. First aspect is what? As a what? A human being. Means this form and mind of yours, you call this human being. And this one, you deludedly grasp and cling, thinking that it's you. You will become miserable, afflicted. And this one has five aggregate because you have a physical body, which is the first aggregate of form. So you attach to this form, you will worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. That's why you have suffering. You become deluded. Then, of course, within this body, there is a consciousness that is trapped. And this consciousness with its content, you call mind. So mind can be subdivided into four more aggregates. Because our mind can do a lot of things. But the Buddha summarized that into four aggregates, because these are the most common things that the mind can do and the most important aspect. The Buddha said our mind can feel. If you attach to all of feeling that arise, whether pleasant, unpleasant or neutral, suffering will be the result. Because you will attach, you will cling, you will grasp. Whether positive or negative. That's why you react nice, not nice, pleasant, unpleasant feeling. Your like and dislike make you unhappy, miserable. Then when you attach to all the perception that you arise, where your mind is capable of perceiving things through what you see, what you hear, what you smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, all those that you perceive through your sense experience, sense door consciousness, if you deludedly grasp and cling again, suffering will be the result. Whatever you perceive could be your loved ones, your own wealth, possession, your own what they call property, and all those things that you hold on to dearly. If you deludedly believe that they belong to you, they are yours, especially your children, your loved ones, your good friends, your parents, your brothers and your sister. All this, the moment you deludedly cling and grasp, if anything were to happen to them, you will be afflicted. That's what suffering is all about. So the Buddha said, feeling, perception, same. They come and they go, they are impermanent. The moment you deludedly grasp and attach, you suffer. So likewise, the third aggregate of sankhara, which is your thinking. Your mind can think, can arise the mental states, can create the views and the opinion. So all this, the Buddha said, if you hold on to them rigidly, cling on to them, then you can also become afflicted. You end up with a lot of suffering too. Then the last one is whatever you become conscious of, if you are deluded by it, especially the phenomenal world, if you cannot understand the universal characteristics or impermanent suffering state and non-self or empty nature, then you can become gullible. You can become lured into it. Then when your attachment arises, clinging arises, grasping arises, unknowingly when conditions change, reverse, you become afflicted, you become miserable. That's how suffering comes to be. So this first noble truth is very clear. So if you have read about it the first time, then you suddenly awaken to it, just like when the Buddha saw the first four signs. What are the four signs the Buddha saw when he decided to renounce the world and left the temple? Sorry, left the palace. The first three is what? He saw a very old man, old age. Then he saw a very sick man. Then he saw a dead person. These first three signs are the three of the eight reality. And he straight away knew he has a problem. He knew he has to seek a solution to old age, sickness, and death. Because all of the happiness that he enjoyed, no more meaning. Because he came to realize one thing, is it? This body of mine one day can become so old, like this old man or old person. Then this body of his can one day become so terrible, so diseased, full of sickness, and so painful. Then the worst is it? One day this body will die. Then he saw everything that he came to experience and enjoy got no more meaning because he still got a problem. Finally, he will have to confront this three things, getting old, getting sick and die. And he got no solution. That's why finally he saw the fourth sign. What is the fourth sign? A samana. Samana is a recluse or a monk. Or a person who has renounced the world, go for to seek truth. Then he decided to renounce the world and follow the way of the samana to develop this type of wisdom to liberate from birth and death, old age, sickness and death. So this is how the Buddha can actually awaken to that reality. So if you, through hearing, you can have that understanding, then there is some form of first turning wisdom developed. Suttamaya Panya. Okay, can follow. So similarly, you can go back and read about the second, third, and fourth noble truth, then you will get an understanding of what this first turning wisdom is all about. Then after that, the Buddha said, if the first turning doesn't give rise to wisdom, then you can try the second turning. Second turning, I read to you, Cintamaya Panya. So this turning corresponds to another type of wisdom which the Buddha called Cintamaya Panya. And Cintamaya Panya is wisdom born of reflection, inquiry, and contemplation into the Dhamma or truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. Yeah. So this one is very easy to understand, but difficult to cultivate. So you go to the second column. I put there, contemplate, reflect, and inquire into the first noble truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. Means, like the first noble truth proclaimed above. You read the whole thing, then you reflect. Then you ask, why did the Buddha say birth is dukkha? Understand not? You inquire into it. Then your inquiry will take you through life, and you will recall what happened during birth. Especially you are a mother, you will know more. Then you will understand. Then when you confront old age sickness and pending death, you will also understand this noble truth better. That's why when you reflect, contemplate, and you inquire, you stabilize your understanding. So the first turning wisdom can actually be understood better if you reflect, contemplate, and inquire into it. Then finally, in order to understand the final summary, you need to understand what is this so-called five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects of it. So to reflect, to contemplate, and to inquire, you will ask many questions. And these questions brings about condition for Dhamma to unfold. And you have to do it, because this is the most important part of the meditation. The second turning wisdom will set the base for you to receive truth later, will prepare you to develop wisdom. So I put here, you have to inquire, because under the second turning, the Buddha just mentioned four types of respective cultivation that you need to apply to each truth. So for the first noble truth, second turning, the Buddha said, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. So the Buddha just said this, you know, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. So how do you cultivate? You have to reflect on it, contemplate on it, and then you inquire, why did the Buddha say this? Why did he say this dukkha, noble truth of dukkha, the first noble truth, is to be understood? Why? You try. Why? If you have not reflected and contemplated into it, you cannot understand it. But after you have reflected and contemplated, then you realize all of this noble truth, they talk about realities of life and existence, no? If I don't really understand it clearly, I will not understand the noble truth. So in order to understand this noble truth of dukkha, you must know what dukkha is. Understand now? That's why you have to reflect on the eight conditions and put to test whether what the Buddha said is true or not, whether suffering arises or not. So when you put to test, then you realize, these are the reality of life and existence. If I confront them without wisdom, chances that suffering will arise is very high. Then you knew. That's the reason why the Buddha said this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. So if I have understood what suffering is, then I will move on to understand the second noble truth, the cause of arising of suffering. Then the Buddha said, this cause of arising of suffering, which is the second noble truth under the second turning, is to be abandoned. Then you know how to practice. If you know the cause of suffering, you know how to abandon the cause, then suffering ceases to be. Correct? That's how you free. That's why this second turning is very powerful. But of course, there are the essential Dhamma that tie in with this. So when we move to the second noble truth, the cause of arising or suffering, the Buddha said, this cause, which is craving, is to be abandoned. Then you inquire, how can I do it? Had the Buddha taught me anyway? How do you do it? How do you abandon? All of the craving or wrong thought, unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech and action. How do you do it? Yes. Yeah. You will try. Good. Sadhu. Yeah. Pass the mic to her.
Prati, remember last Thursday, the sharing that I had was on the unwholesomeness and the wholesomeness of thoughts.
Ah, yes. That one was
very
good.
I didn't finish that.
Okay.
The reason why I brought that up was because at that, I would assume that would be my level of my cultivation. Actually, one thing happened during this cultivation of mine was when I received a call from a young boy of 19 years old who actually saw Ajahn Chah-lo's retreat poster through Sui An, who I think blasted out to the Buddhist Council Association or something like that. It was a very natural progression for me because during that particular period, I was actually cultivating wholesomeness on a daily basis, on a daily level. And when this phone call came, and because he was very young, I wasn't sure whether Ajahn Chah-lo would actually accept him for the retreat. But the instant moment, what really came to my mind was what Brother Chu told us when we were in Taiwan. A single thought, a single pure idea, and a single thought or action or any wholesomeness can bring about something good.
Yeah.
True. It can be from anyone, from anywhere.
Yes, one thought of Bohi. Bohi thought.
Now, with that, if I can connect and I can give this young boy some form of to jumpstart his Dharma journey, I will probably do something about it. And what I did was I actually wrote to Ajahn Chah-lo, seeking his permission and all that. And he was given the chance to go for the retreat. Now, the important thing is in this sharing I want to say is this boy actually replied. And he says something like this. Just give me a second. I find it for a 19-year-old boy to come and tell me this, I have to be very diligent.
Yeah.
he says...
They have their path.
He said, Miss Joyce, I would like you to know that I would prefer to participate fully and pay fully for the event if the volunteering would cause interference with the flow of the meditation program. I would like to join for the meditative experience so that is my priority.
Sadhu, very good.
I think this really caught me off guard.
Because
I never expected a 19-year-old boy who is self-taught, who sees the YouTube, no teacher.
Yeah.
He's from Penang, he's a Penang boy. And Sadhu to Sui An, who actually blasts this retreat through his good word. What I'm trying to share here is that from Taiwan trip to this email that Suyan sent it out, through this connection, I came to know this boy through the phone and to WhatsApp. And through that, I have only one thought, that is to do something to benefit him in some way to jumpstart his Dharma journey. So I hope with this sharing that whenever we have a chance to help someone and benefit someone, we try to have more wholesome thoughts.
Yeah.
And when you have more wholesome thoughts, somehow the unwholesome thought becomes less and less.
Sounded very good. Very good. So I just add on to this. You see, human beings' weakness is you are so conditioned in your thought and your thinking process, and you tend to have a perception or a view of certain things. Just like in Joy's case, luckily she developed this Dhamma understanding. She has an open mind, and she sees the beauty in somebody seeking for truth. Even though the first instant is a 19-year-old kid, no, is he serious about meditation, or is he trying to find out to have some fun? So that thought, for most people who don't have the Dhamma, or you sometimes very maybe strong in your viewpoint, you say, no la, too young la, don't allow him la. And then you never knew that nowadays there are beings that come, they seek Dhamma very early on. Understand? I seek Dhamma at the age of 17. And this 18 is really not too young already. Understand? And when they seek Dhamma, you will know what. They are very different. They are very serious. That's why they reply. Because Joyce was, I think, if I'm not wrong, if I don't get her wrong, she was trying to help this kid, still schooling, understand? To come up with almost $500, is that? Yeah? To pay for the retreat, is it? About that.
It's $500. Yes. But what I told him was this. I said, I'll try and get sponsors for you so that you can come free.
Then he said, so, volunteer work.
Listen to this, what he answered me when I told him.
He said, no.
I don't know what kind of background he comes from.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll try and help you. You know. Then he says this. Of course, if the volunteer work still provides ample time and does not interfere with the meditation classes, then by all means, I am more than willing to assist in the greater blessing of assisting the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Mm. I mean, and I would really love to meet this boy of 19-year-old.
Yeah.
I haven't met him, so I just talked to him on the phone and all that. Yeah.
Because you remember at the Cameron Highland Retreat? Puan Chi got one son, though. Remember? The new graduate. He was sitting at the back. You know the question he asked, he was probing life, the Dhamma. That's why when I heard that question, I told Panchi, I said, you should rejoice. Your son has his path, otherwise he will not come here for the retreat like that, from Alastair, and sit down there so seriously and ask. And the moment I answered him, he was so full of joy and relief. Well, that has been bothering him for so long. I cannot remember the question, but it's something to do with he has read all sorts of religion, asana, and he doesn't know which one is the real one, and how can he be sure which one is the real one, or something like that. But the moment I answer, he straight away knew. I say, it is not a question of which one is the real one. It is how you develop the understanding yourself. If you have the understanding, you will know which one is the real one. Well, the Buddha always said, do not believe anything that is written, even on the Holy Scripture, or even whatever he say. Don't believe just because they are great teachers or have whatever title with them. What you need to do is have an open mind to investigate into everything. If it's the truth, he will stand up to investigation. If you have that type of investigative mind, that is the meditative mind. That is the true mind that can understand truth. Then you will be free. You will liberate. Your mind will be liberated. But if you continue to look for answer and wait for people to tell you which is the truth and which is not the truth, you can never develop the understanding. It's just like meditation. You every time only want to ask question, Bratio, what must I do? Or Bratio, how? Means you don't want to investigate. Doesn't mean you cannot ask. You can ask. But don't develop it into a habit, understand? Means any slightest problem or doubt, ask. Understand? Means you never really understood
what the teaching is. The teaching is about Dhamma investigation, understand not? And to do Dhamma investigation, you must have sati, mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. That's why sati is very important. And that will allow you to see things clearly. All of our perceived view, just like what Joyce, they all who follow me to Taiwan, they come to realize each and every of these great Mahayana tradition, they are very unique. And we can learn so much thing from them. So that's why I share this, because the Zhong Tai Chan Si, the master, he make one very good comment where people were trying to like say certain negative aspect on what he did. Where they say you are monk, you're supposed to actually become very simple, very frugal, and cultivate, develop the Dhamma understanding and allow it to flourish. Why you spend so much money building all this fantastic structure? Well, the Zhong Tai Chan Si was a very magnificent construction, very beautiful, very expensive too, of course. So he said, does it really, really need to be this way? Well, people feel that even you have a lot of support, donation, you shouldn't waste your money that way. That? But he answered it very well. No? He said her vision, his vision is very simple. He said, all this is not built for him, Anasana. Not because he wants reputation, recognition, and all things. What he wants is allow the Dhamma to flourish, to allow this iconic structure to have a blueprint, to create a mark in history, so that this place can be like an iconic destination for all the tourists and the visitors to come. And all this, they, when they come, every year I was told there are a few million visitors. He said, out of all this, if only you can get one who come and benefit from it, it is already worth whatever that he has put in the Nasana. Because that single thought, the Bohi thought, that can trigger off the transformation in that living being and drive him to become a Sammasambuddha or an enlightened being. That type of what they call merits and blessings is limitless and you cannot measure with money. Then he said, what about all those people who come? When they saw this, they have the joy. Then they recall to mind their faith. They renew their faith. Then they connect back to the Triple Gem. He said, all this is going to be very, very wholesome and very, very, what they call, important. Because it can bring for great condition for people to walk back the path or to rediscover the path that they're supposed to pursue or cultivate and develop. And all this can bring for great condition for Dhamma to flow. Then because that way place was so well designed, the facility was so conducive for cultivation, learning of the Dhamma, training, then development of Dhamma, propagating the Dhamma, which will bring us to the three phases of Dhamma. After I will summarize it and finalize it. It can bring for great benefits to living beings, and not only human beings, the non-humans too. And the energy there were very strong. And you can feel that place is different. Many of these way places, they are very well designed. And because of the sincerity of the founder, and the way they bring forth that Sangha, the Dhamma family, their Sangha is like this Fakusan one. They got two types, you know. They got the lay people one and the monks. They are one unit. They say they break into four. Well, lay people, they got male and female. Then the monks also, they have male and female, bhikkhu and bhikkhuni. So these four group, they say, they are the pillar. They are the pillar that support the growth. So those who understand, they will be able to explain to you why they do all this. So do not have a preconceived idea, then start to judge and comment. Not until you understand why people do certain things, especially great people. People with great potential from their past, when they come, they are very different. So you don't go and assume and preconceive that everybody is like that. Then you just use your view and opinion to brush people off and cut people off. No, never. Even your own children also same. Understand? Don't just get angry and say, no, boy, you study, you don't go and talk to me, all this nonsense. Sometimes you have to be very, very open in your mind and your understanding. You have to listen to what they have to say. Then sometimes it's because they have this unique past that drive them into certain direction. That you understand as parent, you can support them, and you can even counsel them and maybe motivate them, then guide them along and bring forth condition for them to meet up with people who has this potential to teach them or guide them. So if you do this as parent, you pave the way for them. In future, when you come, when it's your time, you have parents who will guide you, pave the way for you, and do the same for you. Understand? If you brush them off, you have parents that will brush you off and tell you off. Understand? So, law of karma is very beautiful. You reap what you sow. Okay? So this part of sharing is very good. We should thank Joyce. We say sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Coming back to our question, the second noble truth. How to abandon craving? That's the cause of suffering. The Buddha taught you five ways, right? So those are the meditative one, the third and the fourth way. So use that. That's why the Dhamma are interconnected and linked. So your reflection, contemplation, and inquiry, the second turning, you have to go deep into the teaching. Understand? Where the essential Dhamma that I have taught you, they are all there already. You only need to connect them. Inquire them, you probe. Then the third noble truth talk about the realization of Nibbana. Cessation of suffering. There is a noble truth that explains clearly to you that suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and now, or cessation of dukkha, can be realized in the here and now before you die. So this noble truth, the Buddha said, the third noble truth that talks about the cessation of suffering, the Buddha said under the second turning, is to be realized. That's why you have to realize this cessation. Otherwise you cannot understand what enlightenment is. Then this third noble truth will give you confidence to meditate, where you come to know for the first time that there is a possibility to free your mind from all suffering. Like the Buddha said, suffering need not be. But this noble truth talk about the end of all suffering. He said there is a noble truth that clearly explained to you that this is possible. Then he moved on to the fourth noble truth. He said, there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So he proclaimed that truth under the first turning. Then the second turning, you read down there. The emphasis is this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the path that leads to the end of all suffering, is to be realized. So now the emphasis is to realize this Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. No more just understanding it, like the first noble truth. Here, he said, it's hard work, diligent cultivation. You have to realize it. There's a Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated, not to talk about, read about, through knowledge and think you know. Understand? Thinking you know is knowledge. Cultivating until you awaken is enlightenment. Understand? So that's why this second turning, the emphasis is different. First noble truth of suffering is to be understood. Second noble truth, cause of suffering is to be abandoned, grieving. Then the third noble truth, enlightenment, cessation of suffering, Nibbana, is to be realized. That's why if you cannot realize that Nibbana, you cannot proclaim that you have become enlightened. Then the last one, the second turning of the fourth noble truth is, this noble truth, that talk about the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the path that leads to the end of all suffering, is to be cultivated. And then the third turning is very simple. When you do the meditation, the Buddha said, there is a wisdom that will arise. Meditation is bhavana, huh? I already told you. So the third turning wisdom is what? Bhavana, maya, panya. Correct or not? You read? First column. Bhavana is meditation. So wisdom, panya, born of meditation, is the third turning. So under the third turning, you look at the Four Noble Truths, how the Buddha turned it. It's exactly like the second turning. Except now, he said, this Noble Truth of Dukkha, for the first Noble Truth, has already been understood. Means what? No more is to be understood, no. Has already been understood. Means you have already cultivated, you have already awakened, and you have understood it. Meaning, you have understood what Dukkha is. You have understood the cause of arising of Dukkha. You have understood how Dukkha can end to the realization of Nibbana, or enlightenment. In the here and the now, that you have cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? So that's why the Buddha said, under the third turning, is it? This Noble Truth of Suffering has already been understood. Then the second Noble Truth, third turning, is it? The cause of arising of Dukkha, which is craving, has already been abandoned. Then this cessation of Dukkha, which is Nibbana, the end of suffering, all suffering, has already been realize. Means you already awakened. There's a third turning is all have to do with awakening because it's born of the meditative bhavana discipline. Okay? Then the last Noble Truth, the fourth Noble Truth, third turning, the Buddha said, this Noble Truth of the Noble Eightfold Path that leads to the end of suffering, all suffering, has already been cultivated. That's how the three turning can be developed. Okay? Now the last part is the three phases of Dhamma. This one is very useful, very important. We go through it one more time. Then this time I will emphasize it differently. So these three phases of Dhamma, you look at this column on your right hand side. The first phase corresponds to the first turning and second turning wisdom. Then, when it comes to the second phase, it corresponds to the third turning. Then there is this third phase, which we add at the bottom. This is the part that will actually give rise to what they call the noble life, the happy life. And this is the incentive to drive you to cultivate the first two phases, the three phases of Dhamma. So this one, like we have gone through that day, Pariyatti. What is this? Learning of the Dhamma, or the doctrine. So this part, you need to use the first and second turning, wisdom. Understand? You can read, you can listen, you can reflect, you can contemplate. And you can inquire into the teaching that has been spoken or shared or what they call explained by the Buddha. So you read here. You read aloud because I can't see. Too small. you read. Okay, we read together now. I read. I think I can see. Phase one is Pariyatti, okay? Involves the learning of the doctrine together, or teaching via the first, second turning wisdom. Okay? Understood, So, how to develop the first turning wisdom? Which is called Sutamaya Panya, can be developed via hearing the Dhamma as shared by someone who understands the teaching. Okay? You don't simply listen to any Dhamma. Otherwise, it can take you off tangent. Then the second one is listening to appropriate Dhamma recording, like MP3, CD, video, etc. Nowadays, you got Dropbox and all those things. So this one is very useful. you can do it at your own planned time. Understand? Or? You don't have to like must be present when the talk is given. Understand? Or? So sometimes your daily life is such you are not free to attend to all this talk. So if you miss the talk like nowadays, Sui An, you all should thank him. He immediately after the talk, I think less than 1 hour, the sharing came out. So good. Last time, this Alicia used to chase him. Now he very efficient. So you all should rejoice and thank him. We say sadhu, 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 sadhu. And because of that, it has helped many people. Because when you listen, you can take your own sweet time. Because this one, you can pause. You can go back. And you can listen again. And with the transcript, it's even better. Now you read with better understanding. Because when you listen, before you cultivate and have the real understanding, chances is you can only capture small percentage of what you listen. Sometimes the word, the pronunciation sound like that word. So you think it's that word. But when the transcript come out, you will have a shock of your life. Because people who do the transcript, they already cultivate. No? They already have the Dhamma. And sometimes they still make mistakes. No? But they thought it's that word. So after I edit the thing, then when it come out, then only you can understand the true meaning. So now the transcript can help a lot. But when you listen, actually most of you may not get it on. Because it's not easy, unless you have your past cultivation. Then when you read the transcript, it becomes very clear. And I have many Dhamma friends or Kayanamita who told me, the moment they lay hand on the recording and the transcript, sometimes they read until almost the next morning, non-stop, and full of energy, not sleepier. These are the people who are very serious. But don't push yourself too hard, because if you got not enough rest, don't blame me after that. because you have to balance. You must have enough sleep. But when your virya is very strong, if you feel that you are very, very energized, you want to continue, no problem, no harm. Actually, I have done it in the early days, and it doesn't affect me, because when you see it, you will reach a point where you know you need to rest. That is the best. That time, you just silence everything, mindfully, then go and rest. You will have very good sleep. Then you have a lot of energy going in. But at that time, with the Dhamma understanding, and your heart, your nature rejoicing and opening up, with all the condition ready, many things will happen. So you must know how to relax and silent and just go and sleep. So we read on. Third one is what? Reading Dhamma books, notes, and online material as shared by someone who understands the teaching. So this one is through hearing, listening, and reading. Then, second turning wisdom, Chintamaya Panya, can be developed via contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha to develop further understanding via stabilizing what one has read and heard, then assimilating them into one's heart to set the base for developing further understanding later on via either the first, second, or third turning wisdom. Any of the turning after that, you can just awaken. Because the moment you have reflected, contemplated, inquired deep enough, when you stabilize that understanding, it's like you are ready to receive truth. And then any of the first, second, or third turning, you can just awaken. Sometimes, when you are in the bathroom, like that lady nun, pour water on the lake. Before the water flow and end up in the drain, she became arahant straight away. Because she was so mindful. Understand? So you never knew. Then like certain people, Hui Ning, you remember Hui Ning? He heard the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling. Straight away he awakened. And then today I sent out the Second Heart Sutta about the six platform. Somebody tried to print out the second one, the part by Hui Ning one. I will read to you how he actually received the what they call the mind seal, the mind to mind seal from the fifth patriarch. and how he become great awakening. He already enlightened now, but he hasn't got the great awakening until the fifth patriarch actually through words only talk to him. And he straight away awakened now. When he mentioned that stanza, he straight away have a great awakening. And he was full of joy and he was so amazed. You know, never knew, you know, that true mind, that true nature is so powerful and yet so simple. You know. If only you had understood, you would have actually become greatly awakened. And he keep on describing it very beautifully. Why you cannot offer? You try to print this one because your page is too small. This one is A3. They are too far. But that one is a normal file. Normal file. Can print out. I managed to open it. Then luckily I passed to Ellen. She very good at spelling check. No? Oh, after the Puan Chi Alostar check, come back, I check, then somehow got things to correct her. She very good at spelling check, that's why I must pass spelling check to her. Then the numbering also, Ingvi and her can help to check. We need this type of people who can help out. So that what you receive is a very good authentic copy, understand? Properly edited, properly checked, and it's for the benefit of many to come, understand? And this Dhamma is going to help many, many people. It's meant to be. Yeah? Okay. Now, what I want you to understand is this second phase and the third phase. Second phase is what? After you have understood what the Dhamma is through your hearing, listening, and inquiry, yeah? Contemplation, everything, even reading, then you go to stage two. Phase two. What is phase two? Yeah, patipatti, which is the cultivation. Very good. Very, very good. Sadhu. Cultivation of Dhamma in daily life. This one is the most important. Means you go into the meditative training, you cultivate. That's why Bhavana Maya Panya, you cultivate. The moment you finish phase two, what happened? You become enlightened. Understand or not? Awakened. Then you reach the third phase. Phase three is Pativeda. What is Pativeda? Reaping. The fruition, or the reward of your hard work, reaping the fruit of your cultivation. Cultivation. Or what they call reaping the reward. Reward of your hard work. This face is the most beautiful. You read this. Can truly live life to the fullest, to experience all the noble life as described below. Life become much more meaningful and good because no more suffering. So no more suffering. You love it or not? That is the best. Then the second one is able to understand life clearly, hence a lot of joy, happiness, peace, love, and compassion. Then via heedful living, because that time you no more heedless living. One is able to experience all of the wonders and beauties of life while in this world. So this is what you can really, really experience. And this is your reward, understand? Don't go and gullibly say, I enlightened already. I must not have craving. Then everything also cannot. Then you give up everything. That is not the way to understand life. But this third phase, the Buddha talked about Pativeda, is the most beautiful phase of your life. Understand? You're not only able to experience all this. I read on. Fourth one is able to always act righteously with wisdom, love, and compassion. Then you are always heedful to live the noble life of peace, joy, happiness. Hence, no more heedlessness. Understand? You can never be heedless anymore. Understand? Then after that, always very mindful of one's action, speech, and thought. We are living the noble life of heedfulness. Last one is the best. Understand precisely that this form and mind is not oneself, but only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for one to use to live our this segment of life, our this segmented life while in this world. If you understand this, you got no more suffering, and you are the most beautiful being ever to be born. Because this form and mind karmically conditioned out for you to use, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and to do what you want to do in this world. Understand that? That's why when you understand that there is such thing as Pativeda, the third phase of the Dhamma, where you can have such great noble life, what are you waiting for? Yeah? I ask you one question. Do you want this? Yeah? If you want this, what must you do? You must start these two. And this one you already have, learning of the Dhamma. You have been listening to all the recording, attending the class. Then reflect, contemplate, and develop your understanding. Then you straighten your view. Now your hard work is to cultivate. And this one you must do in daily life. Understand not? No amount of sitting, I tell you, no amount of sitting without this daily life cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path can really make you enlightened. You don't believe, you go and try. Yes. Yes. Pass the mic. Never mind, use the mic for recording, otherwise they cannot hear. Oh, different. That one is under the second one. You say liberation from the from the conditioned world. You realize the unconditioned. Means you become enlightened. That one under phase two. And so this one is phase three. You reap the fruit of your cultivation. Means after that, we forgot to read these two. That's why you didn't get it clearly. Phase three, I read again. Pativeda, this phase is reaping the fruits of one's cultivation. Then, after you have become enlightened, you reap this fruit. Understand? Then, you are leading a noble life. Understand? Then, you live the life of the awakened one. Understand? This one is living the life of the awakened one. Understand? So, this is the third phase where you can really live life. Of course, you want to use the mundane people's word, you can enjoy life. But it's not enjoying, because the enlightened one will understand what they will never enjoy life. But they will experience everything that can be experienced by this form and mind. Because this form and mind, all of experience become memory. Understand? And they know no reality. Yes. Oh, definitely. Definitely. No, you have the four stained sainthood, understand? After the sainthood, you can go into the other phase they call conditioned enlightened one. Conditioned enlightened one are what they call the Pacheka Buddhas, understand? Then after that, you can move in to another phase, which is the Bodhisatta. The Bodhisatta cultivate to become Sammasambuddha. So the final one is Sammasambuddha. That's why they got these 10 Dhamma rhymes. The 10 Dhamma rhymes include the 31 plane plus the 4 rhymes of enlightened beings. So these 4 rhymes of enlightened beings, they have what they call, you see, number 10, we start with the top. This is rhyme of the what? Rhyme of the highest one is what? The Buddhas, the Sammasambuddhas. Is that not? The rhyme of the Sammasambuddhas. Then, number 9 is what? Huh? Dharma rhyme, sorry. There's a word. Dharma rhyme. Dharma rhyme of the Buddhas. Then this one is Dharma rhyme of the... Before the Buddha is what? Ah, Bodhisattvas. Then after that? Dharma rhyme of the... No, condition enlightened one. That's all. Condition enlightened one. They enlighten through the 12 links. Condition enlightened one. These are the Pacheka Buddhas, where no Buddha around. Yeah? Condition enlightened one. Huh? When there is no Buddha around or no sasana, they can also awaken, but not through the Four Noble Truths, where nobody proclaimed the Four Noble Truths. But they saw the dependent origination within their own form of mind. And they awaken to the truth. And they also no more suffering. Number seven is what? Rhyme of the sound hearer or savaka. You heard of this word, is that? I forgot the spelling already. Something like that. Savaka are the sound hearer. Those who hear the sound. Senven. In Mandarin is senven. So this one is the four sainthoods. You have the Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, and the Arahant. They are all under this rhyme. The rhyme of the sound hearers. And this one is the rhyme of the conditioned enlightened one. In Mandarin is Yan Fa Jie. Siying Yan Fa. Yan Fa Jie. Senwen Fa Jie. Yan Fa Jie. Then this one is Pusa Fa Jie. Then the last one is Fo Fa Jie. Understand? Then below this, you got 1 to 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This one is human, human being, manusa, the fifth. Then this below are the woeful state. So this one is demon, demons. Then this one is animal, animals. Then this one is hungry ghost, or petas, hungry ghost. This one is hell, and that's apaya, hell. Then this sixth one is devas. They say tian fa jie, and that's heavenly beings. So devas and brahmas. So this one is the sixth deva plane plus the 16th dhamma rhyme and the four formless dhamma rhyme. So this one form the 31 plane of existence. This one, the 31 plane. This is samsara. Understand? Huh?
So when we get, when we are, if we look at the Pati Veda, where will we be? Still in the number 5?
No. Once you finish Patipati, once you finish Patipati, then you will become one of these beings. Understand now? But you exist with a form and mind in the human realm. Understand now? You exist in a form and mind within the human realm. This form and mind is in the human realm. But this nature that is connected, that developed the wisdom, transform this form and mind into enlightened being of this realm, or this realm, or this realm, or this realm. Spiritually, you can be in this rhyme. But physically, you are in the rhyme. Your segmented life is born. Understand? Can follow? So this one is more clear now. So your motivation is Pativeda. So if this third phase of Dhamma is so beautiful and so, very good, sadhu. Thanks to me phone. This is the 31 plane. Yeah. So this is the one that you can develop. Now, my tree, you just hold it. This one is very beautiful. You see, this is the blue one, 16 Brahma rhyme. You see? 16. Yeah? So this one is the form, formless rhyme, arupa. This one is the form, yeah? Rhyme of form, yeah? Rupa loka. This is arupa loka, formless. Yeah? Then this one, these are the sensual world, kama loka. There is this word, kama loka. Ah, kama sukati, here. Huh? Kama sukati, bumi. Yeah. Then this whole thing is the sensual rhyme. Sensual world. Yeah. Okay, hang on. Never mind, it's okay for the time being. So this one is the sixth deva rhyme. Huh? I told you one, remember? Chaku Maharaja. Huh? This one is the Sita Jingkang. Sita Jingkang. You heard of this? The four great heavenly guardian of the four directions. Eh? When you go into Mahayana temple, the four very fierce ones. Eh? When you all go to Chong Tai Chansu, you saw the four faces on, right? Remember? Oh, one with the umbrella, one with the guitar, and one with the very fierce one. Eh? Then you go up, it's Tawatinsa. This is Ti Gong. Understand? Tian Shen. Look by Ti Gong, New Year time. He is Saka, King Saka. He is already enlightened. First stage of sainthood. At least a Sotapan. By now, maybe better. So, Tavatinsa is also called the 31 heavens. The 33 heavens, sorry. The heavens of the 33. Because King Saka is very unique. He got this 33 very good friend. So, heavens of the 33. Then after that, you go up to Yama. This one, what Tian? I forgot already. Yeah, you know Mandarin. You can read. Chui from Beijing University. Yes, some Tian or your Chan. Yama. But this one, surprisingly, is not the Gyamboong. No, understand? At first, I also thought is the one that control the hell one now. But it's different. This one, here is written here, only Akasa Devas, its chief is Suyama. Devas live away from difficulty and reach psychic happiness. Therefore, they are called Yama. So this one got a lot of psychic happiness. Then this one, Tavatinsa, they are the first earth ground to appear in a new world period called Tavatinsa. There are two groups, Bhumata Deva, Indra, and Indra is King Saka, and 32 leading Devas and their followers, and Asura at the base of Sumeru, Mount Sumeru. Then they have Devas with celestial mansion in the air. So this one, if you born Deva, you want to have this good Deva life. Tavatinsa is the most common rhyme that they go to. Then you go to the higher rank, Tusita. Tusita heaven is very different. All bodhisattva before their last birth to become Sammasambuddha, they will live here. They only delight and have a lot of happiness. Gaiti, they call gaiti. Then this one, Nimana Rati. This one is the Mara. Very naughty one. This one, they enjoy the five senses which they create for themselves and others. They can create a lot of things for you. So these are the great Mara. Then this one is a bigger Mara. Paranimita Vasavati. They also enjoy the five senses and objects created by others for themselves. So these are the ones when you do Samatha Bhavana, they will come and disturb you. Because actually their duty is to disturb this type of cultivator. But they also got psychic one. Oh, they're also very good. And they enjoy the creation of the five senses. They can move into your five aggregate of form and mind and tell you, like, as if you are actually talking to the Sammasambuddha or the great being that you have a lot of attachment to. Or your mind have a lot of preconceived idea about. These two rhyme. they are as well. Then this one is, they take birth here because they have jhana. And when they abide in this jhana, their vihara is the four Brahma vihara. So they got a lot of metta, loving kindness. They got a lot of what they call compassion, karuna. Then they also have a lot of sympathetic joy, mudita. Then their mind is upekkha, equanimity. But that equanimity is conditioned state as an energy field. That's why they are very still, very silent. Then, like I told you in the Klang talk, Mahabrahma is here, the third level. So there is this destruction, you see, order of destruction of world cycle. The first seven is by fire. Then finally is by wind. So you look at here, world destroyed by fire up to this level, understand or not? So when this thing happens, the sensual realm all will be wiped off. Then even the Brahma, the first two level and the third level also will be more or less wiped off. So that's why there was this Mahabrahma, which take birth here, and Sakyamuni Buddha went and up there to help him. Because he actually has fallen from the highest formless rhyme. That's why the Buddha knew. Rhyme after rhyme he fall, no, after so long, no, until finally he was here. No. He is at the fourth Brahma plane. Then he fall to this Mahabrahma, the third. And when he fall to here, he was the only one. Understand? Because these are all destroyed below. Understand? Then he saw all the subsequent being that appear is after him. Understand? So he believed he is the creator God. Understand? That's why they call the Mahabrahma the creator God, India. Understand? And this one is in the sutta. You can go and read. So they worship Mahabrahma. Understand? The creator God. But actually the Buddha went up and talked to him. You think you are the creator. He said, not long you will fall below this. Then you will reach the Deva rhyme, the human rhyme. Finally, the four woeful rhyme. He said, if you are not careful, this is your destiny. Oh, then he very scared after that. Because he said he can create. Then the Buddha said, okay, you create. He get a skull, arahant. He cannot find where the arahant table. That's why with all the psychic, he cannot. So the Buddha after that only advised him. You have actually fallen all the way from the up there. And this one are still within the 31 plane of existence. They are still within samsara. You have not actually liberated from the world of birth and death, cycle of birth and death. Your mind has not liberated. You have not freed your mind. Means you still have ignorance. You still have delusion. You are still bounded by the fetters. That's why he said you need to cultivate to develop the enlightenment to free. So these are very interesting Jataka story. So up there the three world, sensual world, form world, and the formless world. So this is the 31 plane. And this one, this plus all these six, they call it the heavenly rhyme. So that's why Tian Fa Jie, Devas and Brahma rhyme, the sixth one. Tian Fa Jie. But the Mahayana, they call it Tian Anasana, heaven, heavenly rhyme. So the four plus human, fifth, then the rest is heavenly rhyme. Okay? Yes. Pass the mic to Joy.
I want to go bullet train.
Oh, very good. Sadhu.
Brother, I have one question. Actually, this was also came about from this boy that I was talking about. Actually, the question is this. Could Brother please elaborate on this point? Repeated chanting with understanding to arise virya and bring forth sati and samadhi for development of silent mind to arise wisdom.
Yes.
What happened to people who don't understand a word of Chinese and they are chanting suttas in Mandarin? I mean, I'm also quite interested in what Brother Tio has to say about this. Because if you chant with great faith and great mindfulness, Brother Tio, But you don't understand a word of what the sutta you're chanting about.
Okay, very good question. This one, I think somebody asked me before at the Wu Ping Ching Sir. Then I explained to her already. I forgot who. Who was the one? Padmasuri, is it? Who?
Brother, Monica. I read the...
I know, you read the notes.
Yeah, but, I read the notes.
But this one is different. I explain it to her later after the notes. You see, that's why they asked me, what you mean by chant with understanding? So they thought, must understand every word, no, you chant, no. No. Chant with understanding means what? You know the Buddhas and the Bodhisattva, they have their great perfection and cultivation. And because they are so unique, their vow has become nature's law. No, understand? Then their nature, through this nature's law, can manifest without them appearing. No, to connect to your whatever condition. No, then to bring forth the condition for you to walk the path of Dhamma. You only need to understand that they have this ability and they are genuine great beings that can bring about this. And because of that, your faith in them is very strong. Then what you need to do is, in their vow, they say, you chant with sincerity and faith. Remember? You only need to be sincere and have the faith in them because you know they are great beings and they really have this power. And then you connect. Then you move already. Understand? Monica.
I think I know why I actually brought that question. I don't know a word of Mandarin.
Yeah.
I've not chanted any of those.
Not important.
Not at all.
Not important. Even I also don't understand the Mandarin Hat Sutta word one. I cannot remember them.
When I was at the Cameron Highland Retreat.
Yes.
In my when I walked up.
Correct.
Suddenly that chanting
come to you.
I cannot actually express now how I felt, you see. Yeah. So from that day onwards, then it was your birthday, remember we sang that, we went up to sang the Heart Sutra.
Yeah.
That I was actually, I heard that sutra somewhere, I don't know when. When I heard that again, it just, it just clicked. And it's been with me until now.
Sadhu, because in the past, maybe not immediate past, distant past, you have cultivated them before. Otherwise, you cannot. And it will not come. It will not arise the condition. Then it can only connect when you have faith and asana. That's why later on, after you develop the faith through attending the Thursday class, then after you saw how your sister and other people turn around, that faith becomes stronger. That's why at the retreat, you manage to connect. And asana. And then all this will start to happen. Understand? Otherwise, it won't happen. Where you use your conscious, rational, thinking mind. And this one obstruct. Understand? Where this one create duality. Understand? Wow. Mahayana, true. People say, not in the sutta one. No. Then they say, all those sutta in the Mahayana one, not recorded one. No. Later on, add in or not. You go and create this type of doubt through what? Through what you hear. Through what you are subject to the conditioning. Because you tend to believe the Theravada tradition, because you come from that tradition. And that will block you and hinders you. And for me, I can tell you, nothing can block me, because I never believe anything. Even whatever I have affinity with, when it comes to me, I will just understand it. That's why I explained to Chui and Sue at the, in the car when they travel with me, they got this special sharing. I explained clearly to Sue, especially where she asked the question. He said, sometimes we don't have the understanding, is it? We are not sure whether we should do like that or like that, which is correct. I said, the Dhamma is not like that one. When you have this type of thought, means you don't understand, you're not sure. That's why you have doubt, understand? No? You want to ask, shall I do like that or shall I do like that? Or shall I follow this method or this method? Or this technique or this teacher or what? What is the essence? You come back to the essence of the teaching. Essence of the teaching is what?
The Buddha say wisdom, understanding. Without understanding, you cannot liberate your mind. You cannot understand anything. Then you keep on having questions. The moment you understand, the question answer itself and cease. Understand? You ask because you don't understand. Not to say you cannot ask. You ask with the understanding that you need guidance. That is a good question. But if you ask to receive answer, then you are not really cultivating because you don't understand. You have to investigate yourself and realize yourself. Like the Buddha said, I only show you the way. I only show you the path. You have to walk the path yourself. You have to realize that. If you don't investigate and every time rely on people to tell you, shall I meditate like that? Shall I cultivate like that? Shall I follow this teacher, that teacher? No use on. Understand not? The Buddha said, don't even believe him. That's why there is such thing as Dhamma Vichaya. Dhamma investigate. You have to investigate into everything that you don't understand. Of course, when you ask questions with that understanding, then you listen attentively. Understand? You don't listen with a view, no. If you listen with a view, means what? The book say, the monk say, that my teacher tell me like that, cannot be like that. And then you ask that question for what? You want people to answer exactly like what you think. And then you say, well, good, this monk really good. And then you don't learn. If really you already understood, this monk very good, we are same as you, and then both of you must have progress. Understand? You must have less suffering. Understand? Less defilement, less hindrance, more heedful, more mindful, more and more moment of silent mind. Then you start to experience some of the third phase of Dhamma. Are you experiencing them? You still have a lot of misery, a lot of suffering, a lot of fear, a lot of doubt, a lot of uncertainty. You still react to so many things. Your right view are not there. You don't know what really sati is. And you are so crude in the way you communicate, you act, and you arise your thought. And then you call that progress. You call that some people even think they already enlightened. But they never check. Noble Eightfold Path. If all those Noble Eightfold Path qualities are still not there, you are far, far away from even becoming a sotapan, I tell you. Even a sotapan, sakayaditi gone, the Noble Eightfold Path, they already quite good. Understand? They very clear already. They know this is the path. That's why when they enter the path and realize the friction, they cannot fall back already. Understand? They will never break their five precepts already. And they will never go down to the four willful rhyme. Understand? They always born at least human rhyme and above. That's why they are called sotapan, seven returner, maximum seven life. Remember? Maximum seven life. You know, come back to what? Where? Huh? Come back to the sensual rhyme, you know. Understand? That's why Sakadagami is called a once returner. Once returner means they can take birth in the sensual rhyme one more time. Understand? Whereas Anagami, non-returner. They don't return already. Understand? Yeah. So that's why all this, you will understand. So for Sotapan, they already actually have fairly good wisdom. Understand? That's why when you have that, the Sotapan is no longer deluded. The faith in the triple gem very strong. Right and ritual no longer have any influence over them. But they still have sensual desire and ill will. But more, not so crude anymore. Understand? They still can have that craving, that desire. But it's not like before, through heedlessness. Understand? They are more heedful already. Yeah. Otherwise, they cannot become Sotapan. And they are very clear about this form of mind. But mentally, there is still atta, egoic, understand? But the form of mind, not them, they know already that this is karmically conditioned. That this form of mind is conditioned arising. That one they know. They know. They break through already. Okay? Oh, sorry. 10:37. We exceeded 7 minutes. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits.
transfer of merit. Then after that, you can make your aspiration. Eh? Sharya merit siddha devas. Akka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha ammehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Okay, transfer merits to departed one. Itang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hon tu nya teo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hon tu nya teo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hon tu nya teo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, invoking the blessing for the nation. Devo asad kalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you do your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end.
Just a short announcement. Next Thursday, Ajahn Achalo will be here. It's going to be 8 p.m., not 8:30, because Ajahn is leaving very early the next morning. So 8 a.m. Sorry, 8 p.m., not 8:30. So far, I have 36 people that have asked me for seats. So that leaves about 7, because I'm reserving 6 for Clang. So those of you that wants to come, could you kindly let me know? And also, I don't think I've got enough cushions for 50, so could you kindly bring your own cushions? All right, thank you.